Hey, coffee people, Joel here. Have you ever met someone who was studying and preparing for a career in academia and now owns a thriving coffee company? Well, I have, now that I've talked with our guest for today. It was so inspiring to meet the one and only Cal Verga, founder and owner of Duck Rabbit Coffee in Cleveland, Ohio. This episode is the first of a two-part interview where you will learn about Cal's super interesting journey into the coffee world, the origin story of Duck Rabbit Coffee, and some of his early experiences in the coffee business. Enjoy the first half of this thoughtful, cerebral, delightful conversation with our guest, Cal Verga. Season 4 of the Craft Your Own Coffee podcast is supported by Sweet Maria's Home Coffee Roasting. If you've listened to this podcast before, you know of my love and respect for Sweet Maria's. They are curators of some of the highest quality green coffee from around the world. Their selection is incredible. Their attention to detail is impeccable, and they're built to serve the home coffee enthusiasts like you and me. So this season, for all you coffee people listening, Sweet Maria's is giving us 15% off one order of green coffee between now and July 1st, 2022 by using the discount code CYOCOFFEE, all caps, one word, at checkout. CYOCOFFEE. Super generous. Big shout out to Byron and Tom and the team at Sweet Maria's for being awesome and supportive of our community of home coffee lovers. Visit sweetmarias.com to check them out. Well, man, I'm so glad to just have some time with you, Cal. For the listeners, you know, you and I were introduced through a mutual friend, Byron Dote at Sweet Maria's. Byron was a former guest on the podcast a little while back, but when I asked him about some individuals that he knew that had made the kind of leap from coffee as a hobby to coffee as a business, your name was top of the list. So I'm thrilled to be able to spend some time and learn from you today. So maybe just love to hear a little general bio from you. Who are you? Where do you live? What do you do? And then we'll get into some stuff.
I'm Cal. I own Duck Rabbit Coffee in Cleveland, Ohio. We're a coffee roaster, trying to bring the world's best, most interesting, exotic, hard to reach, you know, coffees, try to present them in a way to allow, you know, the coffees for sure to be seen in all their glory, but also, try to set a tone so people can have a meaningful experience, a quality, enjoyable experience with these, cool coffees.
It's good, man. Well, and so Cleveland, Ohio.
Cleveland.
Is where you're at, but you're not from there.
I am from Cleveland, actually. From Cleveland. Yeah. So I did cut my teeth in the biz at Sweet Maria's. Very grateful for that experience. Awesome people over there. Byron being one of them for sure. My entry point into the biz in Oakland, I was going to school. I was studying philosophy at Berkeley. Was getting really into coffee, kind of discovering coffee in a new way. And out of a need for work and an interest for coffee, I reached out to some coffee places that seemed cool. And I think it was a small roaster in Oakland. I have to do some research to track down the name of the company. But they referred me to Sweet Maria's. You know, they're like, we're a real small company, but there's this company, Sweet Maria's, you should reach out to. And so I got hired there. Just I was working in the warehouse, and started tinkering with coffee. You know, awesome place to indulge. Able to borrow home roasters and had access to, you know, a ton of coffee and whatnot. So yeah, just started messing around and getting really into it, and eventually started doing the roasting for their subscription program. And eventually thought it would be cool to strike out on my own and seem like something novel to bring back to my hometown of Cleveland. It seemed like a cool time to come back to Cleveland too. So yeah, made the leap.
Made the move back. That's good, man. So when did you, it's so cool that Sweet Maria's was like just a side hustle, just kind of a job that turned into obviously like what you do now. Right. So
for sure.
Tell me about like, was there a moment when you said you were interested in coffee, you know, over time, but obviously going down a totally different route in education in your schooling, but was there a moment that something switched for you where you were like, man, not only do I enjoy coffee, but I think I want to do this?
I think there was a period of time when I was kind of thinking what my next moves were going to be, personally, professionally. I was on an academic track. I went back to school at a later age. I'm, you know, probably in my early 30s at that time, like 30, 31. And, had just gotten my bachelor's at Berkeley and was sticking around doing some grad work to get ready to apply to graduate programs. But was super taken by coffee. And, you know, one of its appeals to me for sure is just like the breadth and depth of the subject matter, really. You know, there's so much stuff to enjoy about coffee, from very complex taste wise. It comes from lots of interesting places. There's just the science and brewing and roasting and different varietals and terroir influences and, all sorts of stuff there that, I knew, you could never, really, know it all, or, there's always going to be stuff there to capture your interest and stay interested. And really, it was just really wanting to do it and get into it, and just get into, submerge myself into the craft and kind of on my own terms, and just maybe fulfilling a certain vision for what I thought a cool way to execute coffee and be a roasting company.
Awesome. Yeah, I want to get more into Duck Rabbit specifically. But I'm curious, as you're saying that, did you also have an interest in being a business owner, in your former life? Or was this just like, I really love coffee and I think I want to do it, and so this is an avenue?
Yeah, kind of being a little bit more of a master of your own destiny or something, for sure is, appealing. But the business side of it, I never really thought much about. I was definitely driven by passion and interest, and figuring the business stuff out, was definitely, I knew it was a necessary aspect of it that, that I necessarily didn't really have a passion or interest for at the time. You know, that has sure, it has certainly changed and evolved, to embrace it and, do your best to be good at that if you want to keep doing what you want to be doing, for sure. But yeah, it was definitely a passion and an interest driven endeavor, and I'll kind of figure out the rest later.
I think you have, because you're 6 years in, right?
At least 6 years in. Yeah, we opened the cafe in 2016. You know, we're probably like an entity doing some wholesale and stuff for maybe up to a year before that. You know, when I moved back to Cleveland, I roasted duck rabbits, first batch at Sweet Maria's and shipped it back to Cleveland, so I could pass out samples and stuff and hopefully get some wholesale, kick up some wholesale. And then from there, I showed you our old G12 roaster. It took some time to find that and for the refurbishing to happen. So we were borrowing time on other people's roasters. There was a time where I was going down to Columbus, maybe once a week or something to roast. Rioso, a company in Columbus, super cool. Jeff, the owner, gave me time on their roaster. I would go down there and roast and ferry the coffee back up here to keep some wholesale accounts going. Until we got our own roaster.
So it's good. Well, yeah. I'm going to back up just for one quick
second. Yeah, sure.
I'm curious about, I did a whole season on home roasting. It's a passion of mine. I've got a 1 kilogram roaster, but I started with a Whirly Pop, recommends with a little popper. Pretty typical kind of home coffee roaster journey for myself, but I'm curious for you. I know you worked for a home coffee roasting company with Sweet Maria's, but did you roast coffee at home yourself, or did you just kind of use the machines at Sweet Maria's in that time you worked for them?
Oh yeah, I would roast coffee at home quite a bit, actually, on a Beemore that was like on loan from Sweet Maria's, and would go totally manual with it, be opening the door at different times. So I would roast a lot at home. It was such a cool place to work, and especially kind of come up in, just be able to survey many different coffees and had access to all sorts of different coffees and stuff. So yeah, I definitely would roast at my house all the time. And
did you ever try to sell? Did you ever sell that? I'm curious, because I know a lot of listeners, and something that my wife and I have been just trying to learn at home as well. As you get so excited about some of these great coffees from around the world, and you roast them by hand in your own home, like you did, and like my wife and I do. You just want to share,
share
the love. Is that something you did as well?
No, I never tried to sell it. I would host lots of tastings with friends. They're pretty cool events. We would cram a bunch of people in, to an apartment in North Oakland, and go on a little journey. And so I always really liked those experiences, and still do. Taking time to talk about coffee and help people see it in a new way than people typically often.
It's good.
See it. But
love it, man. Well, all right. So I'm gonna fast forward back to 2016, I guess, from 2012, still going back today, but love to hear about, so there's a bunch of avenues you could go in coffee. You could I know you mentioned this desire to kind of be master of your own destiny and kind of go on the business side, but tell me why you decided. So I know you gave me a tour of your roastery, which you're sitting in right now before we hit record here and sat down, but which is super cool, very spacious, super well organized.
Right on, thanks.
A lot of green coffee ready to be roasted. I think you do quite a bit per week from what it sounds like. It's quite the enterprise and looks like room to grow. But then you also have a cafe that's separate from the roastery, right? So talk to me about why you went the roastery and cafe route. Which one came first? Why both? Just maybe talk through that.
For sure. We are on our second cafe now. Our first space, we would roast in there as well, and had a cafe in there, and kind of outgrew that, and then decided to move our cafe once the lease was up at the first space. Being a roasting company, is really appealing to me. I think one of the bigger values that we bring as a company is in our curation of coffees, and keeping our current offerings diverse and kind of well-rounded, and always keeping our offerings interesting. So the curation is something that was always been, appealing to me, to find these gems of coffees. And then for sure be able to present them and make them accessible to people. So the curation and the presentation of coffees, presenting them in the, in what I feel like is, maybe not the right sort of way, but in a way that allows for people to see them and, and appreciate them in what I feel is a worthwhile way. So I think being a roasting company and kind of being that, customer, your customer facing, you get to, present these coffees, you're curating the coffees for them. But you're also, sourcing the coffees too. We're not sourcing, directly from origin. We're sourcing coffees from importers, people like Sweet Maria's and Coffee Shrub. That selection, that curation, that keeping it interesting and the presentation. I started this company following my passion and my interests, and that's what we've continued to do. It's got to be interesting and exciting for me. So I'm, putting forward coffees in a way that, is exciting and interesting for me. And if I were a customer, this, is the sort of offerings that I would be super, super jazzed on. I wanted to wrap up my previous thought on the cafe aspect of our business. For me, the cafe, having a cafe, is the, you know, allows us to, you know, totally set the tone or, kind of bring our vision, for the coffees, completely, you know, to the customer, you know, how we see the coffees and, think they ought to be, you know, presented and enjoyed. So, you know, and as far as a tone setter, you know, to be fully immersed in the Duck Rabbit experience in a space that, you know, is purposefully designed and I think is a cool thing and, you know, important thing for us and our brand, you know, not that it's a necessary thing for all coffee roasters. You know, I think it kind of depends what your market is or, and also, you know, what your, goals and what kind of company you're trying to be. But.
All right. So that was the first part of our two-part conversation with Cal Verga. I love how Cal stayed true to his original passions in coffee by building a culture of curation and staying focused on the craft and diversity of coffee offerings, even as his business has grown. Even the name Duck Rabbit, we didn't really get into this, but Duck Rabbit is an homage to his background in philosophy. And I'll link to that cool backstory in the show notes. It's on their website. And it totally fits that he would open a roastery along with the cafe just to give him maximum control over the customer experience, from bringing in interesting green coffee to roasting it how he wants to present it to serving it in a designed space that promotes thoughtfulness and intentionality. It really reflects kind of the personality of the founder. So that all seems to fit within Cal's why. For why he got into the coffee business to begin with. It's good stuff, man. So next week, we will dive into part two of the interview where Cal opens up a little bit more on the lessons that he's learned during his time leading Duck Rabbit and building that brand. And he offers some really strong advice for people who might be considering kind of traveling the road that he has or considering coffee as more than a hobby. I will see you next week for the conclusion of this time with Cal Verga. Thanks, guys. Have a great week.